Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Bumgardner to the program from The Athletic. Nick, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey guys. Good. How are you?
Doing awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Nick, a lot of conversation around here, obviously, on the Titans. What are they going to do at number four? And we've gone through, you know, Jeremiah Love and David Bailey and all these different scenarios. I want to ask you about Carnell Tate, because wide receiver is still pretty clearly a need for the Tennessee Titans. I think we would all agree that if you're ranking, like, positional value, wide receiver comes in ahead of running back for most people. And yet, I've just kind of discounted the possibility of them taking Carnell Tate at number four overall. Right. How do you view Tate? Do you think there's any chance he gets into the top five in this year's draft? Where do you kind of come down on that?
I like Tate a lot, so I preface it with that, but I don't think he's a top five player. I think he could slip into the top 10, but that's one of those things where, I don't know. The issue with him, and it's really the case of all the receivers this year, there's no clear guy in this class that is like, we look at him and you say, well, that's a one. He's going to be a one in the NFL, no question, right out of the box. You don't have to worry about it. I think Carnell Tate could be a guy that could blossom into that. He's pretty young. He's grown a lot, got a lot better last year. He's limited in terms of some of the speed and everything else, which we knew before coming in, but I think he can grow up. I think he can grow into a legit number one. It's just a question, I suppose, right now. And that, for a top five pick, I really don't want it to be a question, I guess, right? So if I could possibly trade out and do it, that might be the best scenario. But I also, there's a lot of guys like that in this class that, if you go down the board, even into the second round, there are some guys that they're not going to be a one, but you could get receiver help for a quarterback like Cameron Ward who could make it work. Like if you could get a guy in the second, somebody falls, let's say, and Casey Concepcion falls or Denzel Boston falls or whoever it is, that slides, maybe you could do that. Jordan Tyson starts sliding, maybe you could trade up and do that. I don't know if I would do it at four, I guess, right now.
So, Nick, there seems to be some momentum, some feeling out there, that like the Jets may be enamored with David Bailey.
Yeah.
So obviously things like that come about here, and sometimes they turn out to be dead on. Sometimes they turn out to be misinformation. But if you're looking at Bailey, so obviously for our purposes here, you think about that scenario and the possibility of like Arvell Reese possibly being there at four, which I hadn't I hadn't really considered much here in the last few weeks as a possibility. But if you're just looking at those two guys, do you see a big difference between, I know they're different styles and everything, but like in terms of overall quality of player?
Not a big difference, because I think there's a difference. Like Arvell Reese has a higher long-term ceiling, and Arvell Reese, I think, has a higher level of full field impact to his game. He's a true hybrid candidate. He can legitimately play in the stack if you ever wanted him to. He can line up all over the front. He's just like Micah. I mean, he's the closest thing to Micah Parsons that we've seen since Micah Parsons. So that's Arvell Reese. However, but the reason why it's a close-ish gap and why it wouldn't, be out of the realm of possibility for somebody like Bailey Moore is right now, today, David Bailey is a better pass rusher, and he'll probably be a better pass rusher for the first maybe year and a half, and he's always going to be, I think, a very good one. So I think that's why, he's a legit top five player. I don't think he gives you as much of the versatility or some of the hybrid potential or some of the superstar maybe potential even that Reese could give you, but the floor with Bailey is really, really good. And then maybe even in some cases for some teams, it might even be higher as a pass rusher. So wouldn't be impossible. But I also have a hard time even seeing Reese fall again to four. But, is that one too, guys, where if Reese is there at three, would they be like, hey, let's go up one pick and get him? Would that be something that they would consider doing? I don't know. I mean, I think that they have options and questions, but they also are going in a new direction. So I'm curious. I mean, a guy like Reese or Bailey, you know, to hammer in the defense there with Robert Saleh would be perfect, I feel like, to get started. So we'll see.
So let's say they draft Jeremiah Love, Nick, and he comes here, which a lot of people think that's what's going to happen. What kind of a player are we talking about immediately in the NFL? Like, what, you know, when you start to look at the running backs in the NFL, like, where does he kind of stack up immediately in your mind?
Jeremiah Love is my number one player on my board. I believe he is in the Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs tier. And that's what I've kind of dubbed it at. I think he's better than Ashton Jeanty was a year ago. I still think Ashton Jeanty is a good player and will have a nice run in the NFL. But I think Jeremiah Love is different. I think he's in that upper-level group where he's going to walk in the door and you're going to feel him in the very first training camp. He's going to get on the field. This is how it was with Gibbs. This is how it was with Bijan. They got out there in July, and people were like, whoa, this is different. And I think that that's what it's going to be with Jeremiah Love. I have a hard time seeing him being a non-factor as a rookie. I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire and be a Pro Bowler, but he is going to be someone who comes in and helps an offense. Like, I think immediately. And I do think as much nerves as a pick like that would give people, because the Titans need a lot of stuff, and you say, well, geez, a running back at four, like, my goodness. I do think that this is the one type of guy that he's going to help a young quarterback. He's going to help the run game, and he's going to help him in the pass game. So, you know, it's a different type of player, and people have to be aware of that. And I wouldn't hate that pick at all if they took him at four. Honestly, I know some people are against that, but I wouldn't hate it because I think he's a guy that's going to be a big timer for quite a while.
Well, Nick's talking me into Jeremiah Love. I mean, that's the thing to me. It's like he has to be that, right? Like if you're going to do that, he has to be that. But especially if he's, you know, really impactful in the passing game as well.
Exactly.
You know, offensive weaponry is something that we haven't seen around here much since A.J. Brown left. Okay. Well, speaking of offensive weaponry, Nick, Ty Simpson, where do you think he ends up? And after Ty Simpson, who's next, and where do you think that is?
So for me, I think Ty Simpson's a second-round pick, and I actually think the gap between him and Garrett Nussmeier, who would be my three, probably isn't that wide. I think Ty Simpson is a better prospect than Nussmeier, a better prospect than your Carson Becks and guys like that. He's the best of the rest after Fernando. But there's not enough data there for me. It's only the 1 year. It was, if we really look at it, as you guys know down there, and 70% of it was really good, and the last 30% of it was bad. It wasn't good at all. It was like hard to ignore, and it left you wondering, like, hey, we need to see another season of this kid in college before we make the determination, is he a first round player? And so it's too hard right now for me. I mean, I could see him going in, somebody maybe getting him in that Jackson Dart range at the bottom of the first, if they really like him. But to me, I think Nussmeier is a top 100 player. I think Nussmeier will be off the board in the third round. And I could see even a guy like Cole Payton, the kid from North Dakota State, who's all tools, and, you know, we'll see what happens there. Or even a guy like Drew Aller, who people have kind of given up on, but again, a ton of tools. I could see them even sliding into late round three, because that's kind of the quarterback group after Fernando this year. It's a bunch of guys who at the top there, Simpson, Nussmeier, you know, maybe they could blossom into a low-end starter, but a high-end backup. I mean, I think that's the idea there. And after that, you're just looking at, you know, maybe a guy that could turn into a nice backup for you.
Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic with us here on the program. So, Nick, Chris Brazel, the Tennessee offense, as you know, in college is different. I mean, especially if you're playing wide receiver, there's a lot of things about it that don't necessarily translate to the NFL. So you have that he's working against. On the other hand, you know, he's 6'4", he runs a 4.37 40, and he was really productive this last year in college football. So how do you view Brazel, and I guess how concerning do you think the offense and, you know, how translatable, transferable those skills are from the NFL game to the from the college game to the NFL game are with him?
Yeah, it's a very valid question because, you know, there is a history there, as everyone knows. You know, Jalen Hyatt, some of those guys that came out, Cedric Tillman, that put up the big numbers, and then they get to the league, and it's like, well, all the guy can do is run a go route, and, you know, there's nothing else we can get out of him. But Brazel, I do think Brazel's different for a few reasons. He's huge, number one, and then the other thing is he's a legit athlete. Like, he has a serious gas pedal. Like, he can get off the line and beat people right away. He can get low in his breaks and do some things at the top of route that some of the guys his size can't do. So I think there's some more versatility maybe to him. But that said, I do think that, like, there's a portion of the league that's just going to be, like, out on Tennessee receivers until one of them proves them wrong. But there's I think, more teams that are going to be like, no, I like this kid. So I still think Braswell's a top 50 player. You know, maybe a guy who can even slip into the 30s if somebody really likes him a lot. But I think he's in that early second round into the third round tier of receivers who are going to be a guy who comes in and plays somewhere. I think he has a chance to maybe change some of that perception that, like, the offense is what it is. Ole Miss goes through the same thing. But it doesn't mean that you can't recruit a kid that's really good and could do other things too. So I think that that's the case maybe here with Braswell. So I hope that more teams can see that.
On that same point, Nick, you know, Hendon Hooker is now here with the Titans, a guy who I did say when he came out of the draft, I might think about him at 11. And we've seen what's
happened. I love Hendon, man. He's a great kid.
Yeah.
So I hope it works out. I agree with you, Joe. Yeah.
But I mean, I have to look at that and say here's probably an example of that offense propping up a player, right? Making a player look like at that position look better than he is.
Exactly.
We've seen like all those Baylor guys, other than RG3, really barely got a look. So if Jackson Dart, and I know it's not the exact, but it's basically the same offense. Like if Jackson Dart ends up becoming a star in the NFL, because I've always thought like we need to see one of these guys really – just
right.
become great in the NFL for some of that narrative to go away. Does that help at all? Or is it basically just because it's so different and so user-friendly in some ways, you can't be in the NFL, that there's always going to be a certain level of skepticism from some teams?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a certain level of skepticism, but I definitely think the more that guys like a Jackson Dart has success, that it takes some of that away. Because I think what you see with a guy like Dart, he's perfect for that offense in that he can also run. Like, he's a big physical guy who's an accurate and confident thrower. Like, that's the thing that you normally see from the Tennessee offense and the deep choice stuff is they're confident throwers. They don't mind throwing the ball deep. They're not afraid to do those things. Like, that was a big thing with Hendon Hooker that everybody loved. Like, he was fearless with some of those shots. Now, the windows were wide open in college, that they weren't there as much in the NFL that you got to adjust to. But, you know, I do think that the more there's success there, the more teams see, okay, well, you know, if our offense is one that can feature a guy that can, you know, run the ball a little bit and be a bit of a playmaker too, in addition to everything else he's doing, like Chambliss is doing right now also with Ole Miss, then we can make that work. And I think more teams are looking at it that way a little bit, because there were teams that were really interested in Chambliss before he went back this year, which surprised me a little bit, because it's like, you know, it's that Ole Miss offense. And then the same thing with Jackson Dart last year. I was surprised that there was as much desire for him as there was. I thought he was going to fall bottom of the second or something, you know, just because of the stigma. So I do think it's loosening a little, but there'll probably always be a little bit of that, because that's just, it was that way with the air raid too, you know, all those air raid guys for all those years.
Well, Nick, we're getting close. We're closing in on the NFL draft. Yeah. We appreciate so much, as always, you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, fellas, anytime.
Nick Bumgarner, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from The Athletic, does an awesome job covering the NFL draft for them. We'll take your thoughts on what Nick had to say. Continue the conversation on the NFL draft. Charles Robinson is coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll have assistant coach Luke Richardson with us at 8:45 on the program today. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit Green Ventures Landscaping. .com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you. Appreciate Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic for being with us in the last segment. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Luke Richardson, assistant coach of the Nashville Predators, will be with us at 8:45 on the show today. A massive game for the Preds tonight as they take on the Utah Mammoth on the road. So we will we'll have that all for you coming up throughout the show today. Here on the program, we're hanging out at Five Iron Golf. We'll be out here all show long. We'll be out here all day long on 102.5 The Game from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It is Masters Day. It's Thursday. Come on out to Five Iron Golf. It's now open in Nashville. Escape the Nashville weather. Play world-famous courses like Pebble Beach on state-of-the-art TrackMan simulators. Perfect your swing with expert coaching, or just kick back, get some delicious food, craft cocktails, and a lively sports bar vibe. Planning a party, corporate outing, or fun night out, Five Iron Golf has you covered. Visit fiveirongolf.com to book now and experience the future of indoor golf and entertainment in Nashville. I mean, you know, I'm doing the radio show over here. All I want to do is get up and just start hitting golf balls. So that's what's going on with me right now. We'll be out here at Five Iron Golf all day long. It looks like, Joe, some momentum for David Bailey, which is not necessarily a surprise. There's been a lot of assumption that Mendoza's going number one, Arvel Reese is going number two to the Jets, and then, you know, we'll see what Arizona does at number three. Could go a couple of different ways there. If I had to guess, that's still what I think will happen. But as you heard from Nick Baumgartner there in the last segment, Joe, you know, David Bailey is pretty legit pass rusher, and there may be a little bit of a learning curve for Reese coming into the league just based on the fact that, you know, he's going to be rushing the passer, I would assume, full time for the first time coming into all this. The athletic freak that he is, I think he's eventually going to figure it out. And you heard Baumgartner in the last segment say, you know, he's the closest thing to Micah Parsons since Micah Parsons. So that's pretty attractive if you're a team out there. So that's why my guess is he still goes number two to the Jets. But I'm beginning to think it's less and less likely that Bailey is going to be there at number four for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, so, okay, so then are we talking about both of them gone?
Yeah.
Is that what, you know, because, I mean, the thing is you just don't know at three. Three, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But are we talking about both of them gone, or are we talking about then someone feeling like they need to jump ahead of the Titans at three for whichever one of them is still there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would, you know, Arizona – it's such a wild card. But my guess is they're both going to be gone, which to me, that makes it pretty simple to me.
Then, yeah.
Then you're just going Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, I mean, especially if Nick's right, the stuff that he was just saying about Love. You know, and he's not the only one. So that's the only time I've heard of it. That was probably one of the better endorsements of Love I've heard.
Yeah.
You know, it was what Nick Baumgartner just said on our show. And, yeah, you're right. It kind of makes it simple if that's the case. But, yes, obviously there's been something here. We're talking about several – so you got, what, Schrager, Breer, others.
Daniel Jeremiah.
Have all of a sudden gone to, okay, Bailey. So, again, is that the Jets trying to throw people off the trail and they're not going to do that? It's a lot of people to jump to that and not feel like they're getting real information. You know, like it's hard for me to buy that's misinformation. It could be, you know, that's how things go sometimes. But again, if that's the case, then you're talking about Reese, Arvel Reese. And if he's what Nick Baumgartner just said he is, sitting there at three, it's like then maybe that just the Cardinals are just like, oh, well, then we have to do this.
Yeah.
Right. Or someone comes up. Maybe Nick said, you know, Titans could try to move up a spot. I guess, but I really hate the move up thing in any way for them.
Yeah.
What are you giving up for that spot?
Look, if your quote unquote consolation prize for not drafting one of those edge rushers is Jeremiah Love, you can probably live with that, right? Like without moving up and giving up future draft capital, you can probably live with just staying at four and picking Jeremiah Love.
You can,
I guess.
Yeah. Unless. Again, like how they evaluate, they might think, I mean, oh, Reese is clearly our best player.
Yeah.
You know, he's clearly our best player. And as much as we like Love, clearly our best player at a position that's not easy to get, as we talk about positional value and all that stuff. And so, could it be like, wow, I had, you know, didn't see this coming, have kind of always assumed Reese going two. So now does that change how you feel? But, yeah, like I would agree with you. It's like you stay at four, and if Love's just going to be there for you, then maybe that just makes it that much easier to figure out.
Well, I think the teams to keep an eye on with all that, like Dallas, right? First off, Dallas is always kind of looking to make a big splash, but Dallas has two first-round picks. They've got their own, and they got the one from the Micah Parsons trade with Green Bay. So right now they're picking at 12. And they're picking at 20. So it would not surprise me at all if Jerry Jones tries to package those picks and move up in the draft to go get somebody. So Like, whether it's Dallas, you know, we've already seen some of this happen. Like, L.A. had two first-round picks, and they dealt it to for McDuffie. And now Kansas City is picking it at 29th overall, and they've got two first-round picks. So you've got the Chiefs with two first-round picks. You got the Cowboys with two first-round picks. And teams like that, I could see them packaging some stuff together and move up to try to go get one of these guys.
Yeah, yeah, that, certainly that's possible. You know, it's going to be interesting. And man, I tell you, if you know, I've heard the stuff about Reese, the versatility, the ability to move him around, things like that. You think about a guy like Robert Saleh, and what he would do with a player like that. But then there is also the, like, how long is it going to take? You know, is there really that much of a learning curve for him? You expect anyone to go that high to come in and immediately be a difference maker. And it's interesting to think about Bailey being just maybe more ready to just hit the ground running
yep.
as a player. And, again, maybe having a little more narrow role. But, I mean, if you're good at that role, that's one of the most valuable roles you can find in this league.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie? How you doing, Joe?
Good, Mark. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I've been listening to y'all talk about the draft and whatnot, and the Titans' needs and who's going to go here, who's going to go there. Joe, I know you're not too big on them drafting Love, even though he'd be a good back. He's going to end up being a good back, but I'm still under the perception of, hey, trade back. You say you're trying to get all these picks lined up for this franchise. Trade back and get multiple players or whatnot. Titans need players. They don't need one player. They need a lot of players. I mean, Bailey, them guys, that'd be a good pick. Styles. That would be a good pick. I mean, there's some great Mesidor. I like Mesidor. I like Mesidor better than I do Bain. I think that would be that'd be a great pick if they picked up and went there. But, Joe, Robbie, I want to ask you, what has happened to Jacob Rodriguez, the Buckus Award winner? You don't hear anybody talking about this guy. What has happened?
It's a good question.
I got something else to ask you. Yeah, I got something else to ask you, but can you answer
that
for me, Robbie?
We'll get to all of them coming up. Go ahead with that last question, and we'll get to all of them coming up.
Hey, Joe, Robbie, y'all. Hey, we're gonna have the Masters ourselves up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Saturday morning at the Putt-Putt Golf Course over at Go USA. $25 fee. We're gonna have our own Masters, Joe. So you and Robbie invited 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Hey, I'm the king. I'm the king of the putt-putt course over there. I'm gonna be getting with my putt-putt instructor today, Edgar Lane. So we're gonna be ready Saturday morning. So you and Robbie are invited over there, man.
Hey,
bring your putter. Bring your putter with you at $25 fee, and we'll be ready to go.
All right, is that $25 going to you? Who are we making it? What if I got a check? Who are we making it out to?
$25 is part of the fee to play in the tournament, Robbie.
All right,
it's winner take all. We got 20 people showing up so far.
Right.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'll start putting today. We'll see if we can get that going. I'll get warmed up.
Oh yeah, like I said, man, get with your putting instructor today. I got mine lined up. Edgar Lane, one of the best there is. So we'll be ready to go Saturday morning, man. But hey, man, y'all have a great day. I just wanted to get that out there to you, man.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. That sounds like a good time.
I'll see you, Joe.
That's good stuff.
See you, buddy.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the NFL draft. We'll take your thoughts on whether or not we should participate in Mark's putt-putt golf tournament, 615-737-1025. He asked about Jacob Rodriguez. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 the game. 1025 the game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption tomorrow at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 4 to 6 p.m. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. We are talking Titans and NFL draft. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of our football offseason coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up here in about 10 minutes. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. So all that ahead here on the program today. It is one of those things that every time Mark comes in or calls in, people love it on the text line. We got people here at Five Iron Golf being like, yep, you need to participate in the putt-putt tournament. So maybe that's what we'll do on Saturday morning. $25 fee for the putt-putt tournament. He asked about Jacob Rodriguez, Joe. I mean, look, it's when you start to take a look at these prospects here at the top part of this draft, like David Bailey, from a physical profile standpoint, pretty darn good, right? Now, Jacob Rodriguez, yeah. You're talking about an off-the-ball linebacker. We've talked a lot about Sonny Styles. You know, where does Rodriguez kind of fit into all of this in your mind?
Well, I guess I'll pull a Kaharski and say, you know, I'm not out here grinding the film, but you know, he's a second round pick. I mean, Brugler has him as his number two linebacker.
Yep.
after Styles. So, and that happens sometimes. I mean, people can win major college awards and still maybe not necessarily be like the top NFL prospect. Sure. That happens a fair amount. So, yeah. So he's a great player, no doubt about it. You watch Texas Tech at all. Look, Dane Wright, reading Dane on by the way, I probably need to put in a request for Dane, don't I? I always wait.
Probably so.
I wait till like the day before the draft every year. He's like, but no, we always get him every year. But he says Rodriguez has a very average size profile. Athletic versatility has made him more instinctive linebacker, and he should immediately compete for a starting role in the NFL. I mean, second-round pick, you know, you expect that second-round pick to start. I expect to see Jacob Rodriguez running around NFL fields making tackles, right?
Yeah.
After watching him. But, yeah, maybe not quite the, you know, the freakish traits. I mean, he's almost 24. That is something, you know, it's not the end-all be-all, but he is older. So sometimes some of the younger guys, there's a little bit more, you know, room to grow and stuff like that. But, yeah, he's going to be a good player.
One texter says, I feel like if Love really is a generational talent, then the Jets or Cardinals might actually want to pounce on that if the only thing preventing them is the overall value of the running back. One texter says, I know if you can get one in a later round, I guess, but how much does a good running back do with question marks on the offensive line? Well, he brought up Jenty, right? Like, you know, from most people who evaluate this draft, think that Jeremiah Love is a better prospect than Ashton Jenty was a year ago.
Yeah.
But Jenty did not have a overly impressive rookie year. I still think he's going to end up being a good player if the Raiders can fix some of the issues that they've had up front. But if you watch the Raiders last year, I mean, their offensive line was a joke. Like, it was awful.
Right.
And, you know, he ends up in his rookie season, Jenty does, for 975 yards on 266 rushes. It's 3.7 a carry. It's not very good. It's not a good number. Certainly not, you know, a good number where you drafted somebody sixth overall in the NFL draft. So,
right.
You know, how much of that is him? How much of that is the horrific situation of that offensive line in front of him?
And just the overall offense too. Yeah. I mean, that all works together. I mean, if you don't scare anybody in the passing game, then it's that much easier to be a little heavier in the box. So I understand that. You know, to the texter, I'd also say there are great running backs in this league who have great seasons, and it's not like they have perfect offensive lines in front of them, right? Like, of course, you need one helps the other, but if you're that level of running back. Well, you know, like Jahmyr Gibbs, for example, you know, last year the Detroit Lions fell off significantly, and it's really because of more than anything their offensive line fell off significantly. Well, Jahmyr Gibbs didn't really suffer for it. They did overall, but he was still great. And so if Love is that level of player, then he's going to make other people look better.
Well, and by the way, like if Love is that level of player, and we heard Nick Bumgarner earlier this hour throw him into that Gibbs, Bijan Robinson category. Well, then he's going to be used more in the passing game than maybe we're talking about. Like, yeah. If he's that level of player, he is going to be pretty heavily involved in the passing game with Cam Ward.
Well, one of the – of all the things – and, again, I thought Nick made a pretty strong endorsement. But of all the things that I've seen on him, first of all, I forget where they all come from. I think this might have been Feldman, a Feldman piece quoting coaches. But the fact that Notre Dame, like, actually talked about using him at receiver some, I mean, I think that's pretty – you think about splitting him out in the slot and doing different things like that, doing more than just screens and little choice routes in the middle of the field, but actually you know, getting him downfield some and things like that. That's exciting to think about. The fact that he's great at pass protection. People don't get excited about that, but that is exciting. That's a huge part of this league, is having a back who can identify the blitz and blow up a blitzer. And those are some of the biggest plays every year in the NFL. Or plays like that where you have that extra rusher, your back picks it up, and now you've got single coverage where you normally wouldn't have it, and you hit a big play. I mean, if he's that complete of a player, it makes it, to me, that much more palatable to take him.
I would agree. And, you know, you're talking about impactful offensive weapons. Like we heard Bumgarner talk about earlier this hour. Like, there's just not a receiver that you look at in the draft and say, well, he's a true number one. Well, to me, that makes the Jeremiah Love thing, when you start going positional value, I mean, that makes it more palatable. Like, if you're looking at your receivers and you're like, eh, I just don't know. Like, it'd be one thing if, you know, Malik Nabers was in the draft and you took Jeremiah Love over Malik Nabers, right? I mean, that's when you start to look at it and be like, yeah, I probably got a problem with that.
Yes.
If you're looking at the wide receivers and you're like, yeah, I think Carnell Tate could be a pretty good number two wide receiver in the league, I have no problem taking the running back that you think has a chance to be like a generational player over the guy who you think might be a pretty good number two wide receiver in the league. That does not bother me at all if you're the Titans.
Right. Like, if you had – you wouldn't even have to have – you wouldn't have to have a receiver considered in the same realm or even close to, like, what Love is compared to running backs, if that makes sense. If you just had, like, a – yeah, this is – you know, who was the top receiver last year? I don't even remember.
Was it Tet McMillan?
Yeah, maybe that'd be another one that it's like, yeah, not quite. But we've had some drafts in recent years with, like, clear. Yeah, Nabers would be one of them. It's like, if that guy's available, he doesn't have, like, did people think Nabers was going to be like one of the top two or three receivers in the league? No, but I'd still take that guy over Jeremiah Love. People think Jeremiah Love, again, some do. I mean, Nick Baumgartner has just said basically he's going to be one of the top two or three backs in the league, right? I mean, that's basically in that neighborhood. Well, you know, you don't have to be that high-level receiver to take the receiver over the back, but I just don't think that Tate or any of these guys, well, except maybe Mekhi Lemon, but hey, no one wants to listen to me on Mekhi Lemon. But, yeah, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't probably do that at four. I mean, that's really rich for what seemed like a group of good – but not elite receivers.
By the way, Tet McMillan taken last year, number eight. Technically, there was a receiver taken before him. It's just he didn't play exclusively receiver.
Oh, yeah.
That was Travis Hunter.
By the way, have you heard that, like, their plan is that basically he's going to be a corner now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what they should have thought in the first place.
Probably don't need to draft him where they drafted him, if that's the case. But, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and move heaven and earth to go get him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, he better be, like, a top one or two corner plus at least a returner.
Yeah,
right? Which could be.
Could be. We'll see. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Today, Vanderbilt baseball taking on Oklahoma at Hawkins Field. First pitch at 6 o'clock. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, yeah, more polyester pants.
That way you can have plenty of pockets for loose mitts.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good.
I smoke weed constantly.
Why are you hopping in the shower next to me?
Don't talk to me about that.
I do not want water from you slinging your body parts all around.
I'm not wearing a splash guard.
Tally-ho!
It is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters the most. When the grid goes down, you're either covered or you're not. Rapid Response Generators, a reserved access generator membership. Check out more information at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe Rex Road, the floor is yours.
So listen, first of all, well done there, Ian, with the little Caddyshack, a nice job. One of my favorite golf related things in the world, actually,
sure,
is the movie Caddyshack.
All timer.
Now, is that, Would he just say something? I just heard a really loud noise, like an explosion in here.
He did.
What did he say?
He said it's an all-timer.
I mean, I love the dynamic that if Ian wants, he could just completely take over the program, just take over this building with his voice right now.
Technically, Ian always has that ability.
Just dominate.
Ian, anytime he wants to, could take over the program at any time.
So, first of all, I feel I don't feel comfortable in this place, this amazing place that we're in right now, saying disparaging golf in any way. So I won't do that. I also kind of feel a little bit. I don't want to yell. I mean, a lot of dudes around here working on their games here. I'm trying to keep it. So I'm going to keep this real fast. And it's something that's going on today. And it's more of a question, which is, I have a medical appointment after the show and everything. No big deal. It's nothing extreme or anything like that. But this is a medical outfit that I've gone to many appointments with on various reasons. And I do wonder, since everything's computerized and we have records of things, why do I have to fill out this freaking thing that takes 20 minutes about my medical history every time I do it? Why?
That's a good question.
Like, why can we not save these things? I'll name names. Vanderbilt. Okay? Why can we not save these things? I've told you a million times that I've never had a stroke before. Okay? Do I have to tell you again that I've never had a stroke before? I mean, you're going to make me stroke out telling you that I've never had a stroke before.
Yeah.
It's really one of the true mysteries of life to me, which is that, you have everything. You have my credit card information. I know that's stored. Okay?
Yeah, they got that one on lock.
Right. And a variety of other things that are, you got my address, you got all these things. But the medical history, which is the same thing I fill out every single freaking time, I have to do it again, all over again. I'm doing it right now. Here you go. It's on my phone. Oh, well, it is.
Your Let's medical history is kind of an ongoing thing, right? Like it's just gotta. Sometimes you gotta make sure you're up to date on all those things.
Right. So I'm not smart. So I'm not good with computers or anything either. But I feel like there's a way that you could be like, do you need to update this?
Yeah, probably.
Is there anything that needs to be updated? Here's your medical history that you filled out 97,000 times for us. See, I'm starting to yell. Sorry, guys. Keep working on
your games. That's kind of my plan.
The swings are looking good, guys.
They are.
So here's your medical history that you continually fill out. Does anything need to be changed? If so, here you go. Thank you. Why is this hard to figure out?
Well, I don't know. Is there a gout attack quota that is on that medical history that requires you to fill something out new every time? Is this gout related?
I don't think it even asks about gout, which is
well, then it's not a very good medical history.
It kind of offends me that we don't give gout the respect it deserves. By the way, in the Final Four.
Oh, boy.
Well, at the Final Four, I was like going out to dinner with a bunch of my Detroit friends, and Kyle Tucker and some of my coworkers were walking by, and I was telling the Detroit friends about my gout. And Kyle's like, dude, every day on his show, all he does is talk about his gout. I'm like, well, I'm trying to give you some gout
awareness.
He's
an open book here. Okay? That's what he's trying to figure out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But you can confirm this is not gout related.
It's not gout related. That's good. And it's just like, how do I have to do this again? And everybody knows how this is. You fill out, it's every possible ailment anyone could ever have other than gout. And you have to keep, no. It's like, I just don't understand how you have to keep doing this over and over again. Help me. Help me understand,
well,
Vanderbilt.
It's also like, as Tyler points out, you realize you could have had a stroke since the last time you filled out the form. But there's just make a space for that. Like, hey, since the last time I filled out this form, I have sustained a stroke.
I mean,
there you go.
Well, in the system, they should be able to. Here's the last time you visited us. Here it is. You can look at it. That's fine. I'll look at it. And if there's anything that changes, I'll be like, oh, here we go. I'll hit this one thing and then submit, and I'm done. That takes 2 seconds as opposed to, during the break. Maybe I'll start during the rant. Maybe I should do this for the rest of my rant. I should fill it out, and I tell you all the ailments I do and don't have.
I think you should go in there today and raise a little hell, It's time to get this fixed.
Well, but the people, that's the problem, too, is then the person who greets me, it's not his or her
fault. Well, but you know what? Sometimes they gotta communicate the problem. Well, move it up the ladder.
Well, consider this, my submission to the complaints box, okay? Byron says 102.5 the gout. It's actually There's got to be a way we can weave that into our show, new show name about college basketball.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So there we go. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on Gwinnett, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. First pitch at 6:05. You can catch all the action on Sports Talk 830, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.